Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome to an honest review of 2014's Creep. We're kicking off 2022 in style. We've got an esteemed member of the horror YouTube community here with us from the dark depths of the horror mine. It's Vikshai. Welcome to Unleash the Ghoul, sir.
Thank you very much. I'm very glad to be here and talking about a very good movie in Creep.
It is a fantastic film. Kofi, would you like to let the Ghoul Gang know what Creep is about?
Well, it's a found footage film about a videographer called Aaron, who sees an advert for a job to record our second character, Joseph, who has an inoperable brain tumor and wants a video diary for his newborn son to see. Obviously, with the title, it shows Joseph being a little weird and unsettling right from the start.
One could say a creep. So yeah, he takes this job, Aaron, played by Patrick Bryce, who also directs the movie, meets with Joseph, played by Mark Duplass. It's a two-member cast, which is very, very rare in a horror movie, but the pair of them play off each other so fucking well in this movie.
They absolutely smashed it.
I agree. One thing with found footage films is, first of all, you have to make sure that the people in it just work, right? Because it's very small budget. You gotta make it seem realistic, and if the people that are acting in it are total trash and it doesn't make any sense, then essentially the whole movie's lost. But yeah, like you said, Mark Duplass and Patrick Bryce just play off of each other really well, especially Mark Duplass, who I feel steals the whole show.
It's crazy. It's like hyper realistic. Genuinely doesn't even feel like he's acting.
I think the thing for me is, like, I normally struggle with like found footage films because there's always so many moments where I just think, why are you still filming this and not just running for your life? But with this one, you can get past that and it's actually like pretty good, right? But afterwards, I don't know, I did feel like there was a lot of moments where I thought, oh, just put the camera down and either punch him or just run away.
Yeah. I'm glad you bring that up because, so if you're looking at it through Aaron's perspective, you know, as a found footage film, you kind of put yourself in their shoes. Like, what would I do? Would I put the camera down and would I, you know, like you said, punch him and then dip off? But there were several moments in this film where you could actually put yourself in his shoes and like, okay, this is getting weird. Mm-hmm. And then Joseph does something to make you feel bad and you're like, okay, I'm gonna keep on recording because you're making me feel bad. You're pulling the cancer card, you know? And so just like Aaron, ourselves as the audience, we feel like it's getting weird. We were like, all right, I would definitely turn off the camera, but then he does something to bring us back in automatically. So it kind of plays both ways. Us as the audience are kind of like Aaron experiencing all this at the same time.
Instantly when you first see him, you get that creepy killer vibe, but not quite enough for you to be like, this guy's a murderer. You're just like, this guy is a proper strange man and I would just not want to be friends with him. But the way he like manipulates Aaron, doesn't he, to be his friend?
He progressively just gets like weirder and weirder and like you start to like recoil a bit from him as a character, right? But you can almost feel like an element of bipolar about him. Like one minute he just seems a bit eccentric, just a bit over energetic, and then the next minute he's just a complete freak. I mean, to be fair, within about 5 minutes of him meeting this guy, he's just getting naked and getting in the bathtub. Pretending to bathe a child with him and then just pretends to drown himself.
It was an already a weird scene where he goes into the bathtub and starts playing with a fake kid, but then it goes super serious where he's like, well, why wait 2 to 3 months? I can just send it right now. And he kind of just sinks into the bathtub and he's like, whoa, is this guy committing suicide right in front of me? And then boom, a jump scare.
This is a really weird scene and it does immediately get the vibes of Joseph being just so out there and bizarre, but I quite like that it mechanically writes into the movie these kind of rules that make you think, okay, maybe Aaron is kind of justified by staying there. It's explored that he's not financially doing that well, so the job is a very well-paying job for a videographer, so it's like, okay, I can stay for the money. And then because it's like a brain tumor that Joseph's got, is him being weird just a side effect of the tumor? You know, he's expecting a child soon with his wife, so is it the fact that he feels he's not going to be able to see his child even born, playing with his psychology? It does really well at making you understand why Aaron feels sorry for him. But at the same time, he's got a fucking wolf mask.
Yeah, you got the wolf mask. I wasn't confused, but when he said $1,000, I'm like, okay, $1,000 a day? Yes, you know, if it was over the course of multiple days and, you know, $10,000 for 10 days, then yeah. But one day, the moment you see the wolf mask, you're like, yeah, maybe this $1,000 isn't worth it. And The wolf mask, okay, you know, but I draw the line when you start dancing, and it seems like he was kind of like making up lyrics on the spot. It's like, hey, did you just make those up now? Because it doesn't sound like your dad worked really hard on that song.
I love that that's your line here. You're making up lyrics and dancing. I've had enough of your shit. That's your line. Because the fake child in the bath wasn't enough.
Yeah.
The song made up, that's it. I'm with you, pal. I'm with you.
There was a couple of lines in there that rhymed, but yeah, generally you could pretty much make up that it's made up, you know. But A for effort.
If you were going to sing a song about your youth, what would it be?
Oh, man, it's too... I don't want this video to get demonetized. It's best not. Let's keep it up. I've got a channel called The Horror Mine. I think that says enough.
And we'll leave it there.
Oh, Christ. So anyway, the story continues that he's telling about this Peach Fuzz character that was, like, created by his dad. And we learn later in the film that it was not created by his dad in a very, very disturbing scene, but it is so well done. Joseph is like, right, I need to tell you a story. It's really important. I need to get it off my chest, but I don't want you to record it. But Aaron, the sneaky bastard, decides to keep the camera on and hidden. So it makes you lean into the film, and all you have is a black screen, and you just have to focus on the conversation.
That was really masterful filmmaking, because, you know, you're literally just listening to Joseph telling the story, and I link back us as the audience experiencing this the first time, just like Aaron. It's freaking silent. Like, if we were all watching that at the same time for the first time, we'd be freaking baffled. It'd be quiet, you know, it'd be silent. Mm-hmm.
Who wants to, anyway, take the ball of telling the story of what Joseph says during this?
So, let me switch to the voice. So, Joseph starts.
Nice.
It was the weirdest start to the story. It's like, so, my internet kind of started slowing down at one point. It started slowing down, and I looked up my history, and apparently there was a whole bunch of bestiality pornography on there, and I know I didn't watch it, and only me and my wife used that internet. So he was essentially saying that his wife was watching a bunch of animal porn, which is the weirdest entrance to, of any story I've ever heard. Anyways, he does some, like, private detective kind of stuff. He goes to a local store for some reason, a 99 cent store was it, and he sees a wolf mask, and he decides to lie to his wife. He says he's at work, goes home, puts it on, and breaks into his house and essentially rapes his wife. He says she enjoyed it and I enjoyed it, so I pretty much don't know, you know, what went wrong if they both enjoyed it, you know? Yeah, that's pretty much it.
It's, the bit that went wrong was that he was wearing a wolf mask while fucking him. That was the bit where it went wrong.
We didn't speak about it, so, yep, happiest I've seen my wife in years. Maybe she just got raped in the middle of the night and she had no fucking idea what's going on, so she's scared to tell someone and she's pretending. And he's like, fucking hell. She absolutely loved that.
I completely forgot about the bound and gagged part, so yeah, it was pretty terrible.
Well, to be honest, I watched the new Jungle Book not that long ago, and they taught me one thing, and it was that the strength of the wolf is the mask, and the strength of the mask is the wolf.
Great reference.
Did not think you'd be able to segue the Jungle Book into this review. Anyway, it does get a bit disturbing in this movie regardless, because we learn down the line that the wife that he's described as his wife is not his wife. Oh, what a twist. It's actually his sister. So we don't even really get clarification what happened. Like, did he rape his sister, or did he not rape his sister? Or, like, who is his sister? We never actually fucking meet her in person.
Well, the maddest thing about that was that the voice of his wife was played by Mark Duplass's wife.
Ah.
Just a little...
Coffee, do the catchphrase. What was that?
What was what?
A bit of trivia?
It was a bit of trivia.
Yeah, there we go.
I didn't even know my own thing.
Yeah. Jesus, Coffee, you've only got, like, two gimmicks. So, yeah, I actually quite like this interjection into the plot, though, because it just adds to the level of confusion that Aaron is feeling. And since we never really end up with a concrete answer as to who she really is, it makes the audience just, you know, tap into that confusion even more.
Yeah, for sure. Especially due to the fact that the story was so detailed. You know, it feel like it was on his mind already. So that, you can pretty much kind of come up that actually happened, but you don't know with who. Especially when you see towards the end how many victims... Joseph, or whatever his real name is, actually had. So maybe he kind of took that from one of his victims and interjected it into a story for this character that he's playing at the current time.
That's true. And that, like, even the sense that the house that they spend the time at, where he's kind of like, this is my vacation home, I'm a really wealthy guy. We don't know if he's actually wealthy or not. This isn't his vacation home. It's like a rental place. Mm-hmm. So it's just scattered with this mystery about who he is and what he's done.
Oh, yes. Yeah. The final shot, he opens up the cabinet and there's just the stacks of DVDs and VHSs of all his victims. Yeah.
That was a good ending there. I didn't expect that at all.
Just like an unexpected ending, I guess. You wouldn't really expect it to happen in the films that we watch, you know what I mean?
What, horrors?
Oh, man. Basically.
Who would have thought? Murder in a horror.
Very bizarre.
I love that they kept it really minimal as well, this film, right? So, you know, a lot of these films, especially in horror, can just be like drawn out 2 hours long. But this was like an hour and 15 minutes, and that's all it needed to be like really good. And it kept me engaged because it was moving quite quickly. So I really like the minimal aspect of this film. They didn't need a load of bullshit to it. They just did the film and got out of there.
You know, it's very minimal and very different than other found footage films. Like, because I feel like most found footage films have a kind of a formula to where it's very quiet in the beginning. You really don't know what's going on. Then towards the middle, it kind of picks up the pace. And at the end, it just balls off the walls crazy. Yeah. Nothing but shaky cam. But here, the end of this film is pretty much silent. I mean, I guess you could say the climax is when Joseph is approaching Aaron sitting on the bench. And it's almost dead silent until he, you know, whacks him with the axe in the back of the head.
And that's horrible. The thud, man. It's super realistic.
And like Joseph himself said it, like, dude, you know, it was like a good, 2 to 5 minutes long. And he never turned around, not once, which was weird to me. But I guess it, you know, they worked it into the actual plot because he brought it up.
Yeah, it's because like back end of the movie, like Aaron has managed to escape from like the vacation home. He spikes Joseph with a little bit of something something in the whiskey to knock him out. And
yeah.
Then, but then sadly, Joseph is able to encounter him again wearing the peach fuzz mask at like the bottom of the stairs, though, like in the dark. He looks fucking freaky just pressed against the door, but then he just starts like grinding against the door.
I've been to clubs like where you have to pay like $5 for that kind of dance.
Yeah, but yeah, he manages to break free from this and he goes home. But then like Joseph starts sending stuff to Aaron, a DVD of him digging a grave, and then gets a big box with another DVD and a knife and a cuddly baby wolf and then a locket with their pictures in it that plays a little jingle. That's fucking weird.
He gave me some Christmas present ideas, to be honest.
It was like every typical breakup where there's a crazy ex-girlfriend.
So
pretty
true.
Much goes exactly like that every time.
What's your address, Vic Shy? Yeah, so Aaron gets like all these mysterious things in a parcel. And then, oh god, another fucking creepy scene. At night, he's walking through his house. Like, he has a few knocks on the doors and things. And you just have Joseph just standing at the window looking through. Even though there like are a couple of jump scares in this movie, which I know, Stu, you're like not a fan of, I think it's got plenty of tense and suspenseful scares in there just by seeing Joseph in a threatening situation, like at the window, like in the peach fuzz mask on the stairs. And it just adds some level of just disturbance and eeriness to him as a person.
I'm glad you mentioned the jump scare thing, because if I was hired by someone, you know what I would leave a job for? The prick that hired me kept jumping out on me every 5 minutes to try and scare me, and then thinking it was fucking hilarious when I clearly didn't like it. I'd leave a job for that.
I think over here we call that hostile work environment. I don't know what you guys call that over there, but
well, we've got more employment laws than you do, so we call that instant dismissal is what we call that.
Yeah.
Gross misconduct.
Yeah. We're going to skip the paperwork. Go ahead and see yourself out. I guess one thing, since we're talking about all the jump scares, you know, yeah, there were quite a few and it were super creepy just because you didn't know what Joseph's deal was. I think one of the creepiest part of the film is actually its poster itself, where it's after they go eat the pancakes or whatever and they go back up and Joseph's trying to talk Aaron into going inside for one more glass of whiskey. And he he's just standing right on top of the steps, looking over at Aaron. It's nothing but a silhouette because you got the light right behind him, and it's a casual conversation, but you can clearly tell that something's wrong and he's gotta go.
Yeah, there's like a real level of threat, and it's a well-framed shot.
Yeah, yeah, it kind of just takes away the expectations you sort of have for these kind of movies.
Yeah, that's it, and I think by taking away that expectation, there's just such a great level of unpredictability going on, and it mainly sprouts from Joseph's character being such a wild card, and you never knowing what's in his head or what his intentions are, and that too keeps you invested in the film, because you'd never really know where it's going or what Aaron's fate ultimately is going to be, which is of course that axe hit right at the end, which was a great closer.
Exactly, yeah, which they kind of hinted out a couple of times throughout the film. Right in the beginning, he sees the axe, and kind of towards the middle, Joseph asks him, hey, did you think I was going to kill you with the axe? And he says, yeah, I thought you were going to kill me, which he does end up doing.
Yeah, so it like brings it back to quite a nice sort of cycle from the intro to the outro of the movie.
Right at the end of the film, he obviously calls himself something else. He calls himself Bill, and he gets a phone call from someone else who you know is going to be the next target. But you don't actually get to delve into that story because the film ends and just lets you process what's going to happen next. They do have a creep too.
I think we should probably get back together and review that.
100%.
Yeah,
I'd love to.
Creep 2, I saw it, just not to get ahead of ourselves here, but it's pretty good and it pretty much works.
Did you jeopardize the plan, Vic Shai?
Sure did, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a damn good film, isn't it?
The acting on it was just amazing. But I was really intrigued with both of them throughout all of it. It was really engrossing. It was unreal.
Kofi said it really works. The fact that it was so short, it's in its favor. Is this kind of like a lightning in a bottle sort of thing? Actually pretty hilarious when you think about it, because there are some scenes where I sort of just bust out laughing, and it's this really dark comedy. It mixes humor, great acting, and really takes found footage to a whole new level.
Yeah, absolutely. And Stu, your final thoughts?
I like it. No, I enjoyed it. Usually I really hate found footage films. Like, I really just don't enjoy them. But yeah, I think for the sheer fact, like, it was, as I say, it was quite minimalistic. They didn't, like, need to do this in 2.5 hours, an hour and a quarter, and they were done. There was some, like, interesting bits throughout it. Like, I didn't expect him to just smash him in the head with an axe at the end. And the way that was done was, like, beautifully savage and kind of just really raw. Overall, I enjoyed it.
Amazing.
Thank you, Stu. And thank you, Vikshai, as well, for coming on the channel. You're more than welcome back if you want to chat about Creep 2.
Yeah.
That was our honest review of 2014's Creep. You can check out more Friday Fright Times coming on Fridays. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes.
Solid.
I think so.
Solid outro.
Vikshai, would you like to plug anything right now, shamelessly?
Thank you for having me on the show.
You've sold yourself there, pal. Well done.
Please go and follow Horror Mind on YouTube. He's putting out some incredible content. And yes, hopefully sometime in the near future we collaborate again. But until now, that was this week's Friday Fright Time.
Until now.
Absolutely.
Until now, bye. What?
Well, hello again.
Fuck.
Oh, he's panicked. He's panicked.
Until... Oh, fuck it. We're just done. Chit, thanks.